The Commercial Package Policy, or CPP, is designed to be written for 7 different insurance coverages, 3 of which are property coverages, 3 are casualty coverages, and 1, the farm coverage part, provides both casualty and property. If the CPP is used to write a single line of coverage, then the policy is considered to be monoline. If 2 or more coverages are included, with at least 1 property coverage and at least 1 casualty coverage, then the policy is treated as a packaged policy.
So I could pick just one of these 7 coverages offered, or I can mix and match to get the coverage I want.
That's the idea. Now, remember how we talked about coverage forms for all those other policies so far? Those 7 coverages you have to choose from are your coverage forms. They are the same whether used alone or in a package. The forms you have to choose from are boiler and machinery, commercial auto, commercial general liability, commercial inland marine, commercial property, and farm coverage. But before we get too deep into those, you should know that some parts of a CPP are the same no matter how many coverages you pick. If you remember reading about the insurance policy in your study guide, you should know about the declarations page. The CPP has a common policy declaration that identifies things like the policy number, the insurer and the insured, policy period, total policy premium, and all the chosen coverages. A coverage form is activated in the policy by showing a premium charge for that coverage on the Common Declarations page and attaching the coverage form to the policy. Each coverage form added will contain its own declaration page and conditions, which apply in addition to the Common Declaration and conditions.
Okay, so there's one declarations page that applies to all the coverage forms I choose, but each coverage form also has its own declarations page that applies to only that coverage. And the same goes with the conditions. There is one set of conditions that applies to all coverage forms, and then one for each coverage form.
Right. There are 6 common conditions that apply to all coverage parts of a policy. They are cancellation, changes, examination of books and records, inspections and surveys, premiums, and transfer of your rights and duties under the policy. You can read about them in detail in your study guide.
What about endorsements? Would there be a common endorsement section?
That's a good question. There are some endorsements that can apply to more than one coverage form. These are called interline endorsements and are added to the package instead of adding to each coverage form. Some endorsements will still apply only to a specific coverage form and will be attached to that form.
Ah, so that way you aren't repeating endorsements. If I have an endorsement that changes the same thing in multiple coverage forms, I can just add the one endorsement and not worry about having one for each form.
You got it.
Now I'd like to ask about a couple of the coverage forms. We talked about the personal auto policy earlier, so it makes sense to discuss the commercial auto now.
It does make sense. When the business insured is a proprietorship and the autos used in the business are titled in the name of that individual, they may be insured under a personal auto policy and rated for business use. If the business is a partnership or corporation, or if the auto itself is not eligible for coverage under a PAP, coverage must be provided under a commercial auto form. There are 4 commercial auto forms designed to cover different types of commercial auto exposures. The Business Auto Coverage Form, or BAC, is the standard form for insuring commercial autos. This form is used to provide liability, medical payments, auto physical damage, and uninsured, underinsured motorist coverage.
Then the BAC is like parts A, B, C, and D of the personal auto policy, but with different limits for the business.
That's right. In fact, the liability coverage insuring agreement is similar in most respects to that of the PAP. So let's focus on the differences for now. One major difference is the pollution cost or expense coverage. Pollution is defined in the policy to mean the cost or expense arising out of any request, demand, order, claim, or suit by or on behalf of the government demanding that the insured clean up the pollutants. Under the defined conditions, the BAC will cover not only damage caused by pollutants, but the cost of cleaning up such pollutants when mandated by the government. There is also a pollution exclusion that contains an exception to add back coverage for pollution resulting from the discharge or leakage of fuels, lubricants, exhaust gases, or similar pollutants from the vehicle itself. The principal thrust of the remainder of the pollution exclusion is to exclude pollution from the property being transported. This means that neither liability for bodily injury or property damage or covered pollution cost or expense is provided with respect to pollutants that are being transported by the insured. Coverage for this exposure may be added by endorsement.
So the BAC will cover the cost to clean up pollution caused by my car, like if I have an oil leak and some government official asks me to clean it up. But if I'm transporting some kind of pollutant, like carrying a bunch of oil in my car, and that oil leaks all over the place, it's excluded and I have to clean it up myself.
Right again. Another big difference between the commercial auto and personal auto policies is the definition of a covered auto. For the commercial auto policy, a series of numerical designations, each representing a class of autos, is entered in the declaration opposite the various coverages, indicating the types of autos covered under the policy. There are 9 numerical symbols that designate the autos to be covered under the policy, but these symbols are different for each coverage form. The symbols for business auto form are 1. Any auto, 2. Owned autos only, 3. Owned private passenger autos only, 4. Owned autos other than private passenger autos only, 5. Owned autos subject to no fault, 6. Owned autos subject to compulsory uninsured motorist law, 7. Specifically described autos, 8. Hired autos, 9. Non-owned autos only.
This would have to be the commercial auto declarations page, not the common one. So when a coverage is shown on the commercial auto declarations page, there will be a number across from it that tells what kind of vehicles are covered, and those numbers will be different for each coverage form. Okay, I know how to tell what cars are insured, but how do I know what people are insured? Are there symbols for that too?
No, the symbols are only for the autos. Who is an insured is defined in the coverage form. The BAC provides coverage for the named insured, permissive users, and persons or organizations vicariously liable for acts or omissions of the named insured or permissive users.
Ah, so the insureds are the same no matter which autos I have. That makes sense.
It sure does. But now let's cover some of the other coverage forms available for the commercial auto policy. The garage coverage form is used to insure businesses such as auto sale agencies, repair shops, service stations, storage garages, and public parking lots. Physical damage coverage on the customer's auto while in the insured's care, custody, or control is available in garage keeper's coverage, which can be added to the garage coverage form.
Then the garage form is for businesses that take care of other people's cars and therefore need more liability. And the garage keeper's coverage can be added to include property coverage for those other people's cars while in the care of the business.
That's the idea. Let's review the commercial general liability policy, a common coverage in the commercial package policy. Commercial general liability is also called the CGL, or just general liability. This coverage part provides the necessary liability coverages for a business. While the basic concept of covering the legal obligation that an insured is obligated to pay due to negligence is the same in all liability policies, there are 2 triggers of coverage available in the general liability coverage part, the occurrence form and the claims made form. Usually, it is the insurer, not the insured, that decides which trigger will be used. Most insurers writing product liability or professional liability require that the coverage be on a claims-made form. The occurrence form covers losses arising out of occurrences that happen during the term of the policy, regardless of when the claim is filed or whether the policy is still in effect. The claims-made form provides coverage for claims filed during the policy period for losses occurred after the retroactive date specified in the policy. When a claims-made policy is written, the retroactive date is established as the earliest that a loss may occur and be covered under the policy, provided the claim is filed before the policy expires. If the policy is renewed, the retroactive date remains the same. So now the insured is purchasing coverage for claims resulting from occurrences in the next policy year, plus any unreported losses from the prior year that have not yet resulted in a claim. Each year, the premium amount for the coverage increases since the insurer is assuming another year of exposure. If the policy is terminated, there is no coverage for prior acts unless the insured buys coverage for them.
Okay, time to recap. The commercial general liability policy has two different triggers that the insurer, not the insured, gets to choose from. The first one, the occurrence form, covers any losses that occurred or happened when the policy was active, no matter when the claim is filed. The second one, the claims made form, only covers claims that occur after the retroactive date and are filed while the policy is still active. This retroactive date stays with the policy when it's renewed, but that makes the premium go up.
Very good. Think you could come up with an example?
Well, I'll try. Let's say I have a liability claim that I'm filing against a company. My loss occurred in May. First, we'll say the company's policy has an occurrence form. For their insurer to cover my claim, their policy with that insurer must have been in effect in May. I can file that claim at any time, though, even if the policy is no longer in effect. Now, let's say the company's policy has the claims made form. My claim is covered as long as the retroactive date is before May, and I file the claim while that policy is still in effect. If I'm too late, then I'm out of luck. Or actually, the company's out of luck, since they would still have to pay me.
Excellent. But I got one more concept for general liability before we can move on. Can you handle it?
Give me all you got.
All right. It's time to discuss extended reporting periods. The claims made form includes three extended reporting periods to lengthen the time they can report losses that occur after the retroactive date. Two of these periods are built into the policy. Together, they are called basic extended reporting period coverage. The third period is provided by endorsement for additional premium and is referred to as the supplemental extended reporting period coverage.
Let me guess. Now you're going to break it down and explain the basic and supplemental reporting period coverages to me, right?
Am I that predictable? Now, back to business. The basic reporting period begins when the policy period ends and is activated when there is an interruption in claims made coverage. In other words, then the policy is canceled or non-renewed. The basic extended reporting period has two elements. First, claims arising out of occurrences after the retroactive date but before the policy expiration are covered if reported during the 60 days following expiration of the policy. In addition, the policy covers claims reported within 5 years of the expiration of the policy if the occurrence from which the claim arises was reported to the insurer during the policy period or within 60 days of the policy expiration.
Wow. So as long as my general liability policy is a claims made form, I get the basic extended reporting period. Now back to that accident I had in May that some company is liable for. With the basic extended reporting period, there's an extra 60 days after the policy is canceled or non-renewed for me to file my claim and still have it covered under the company's CGL. Plus, as long as I reported that accident while the policy was still active, I can file claims for another 5 years after the policy expires and the insurer will still cover them.
You got it. I bet you'll get the next one easily, too. At the end of a claims-made policy or within 60 days thereafter, the insured may elect to purchase the supplemental extended reporting period. The endorsement extends the reporting period indefinitely for any claim arising out of an occurrence that took place after the retroactive date and before the expiration of the policy. This extra coverage is still subject to the original aggregate limit.
That one's easy. If the liable company gets the supplemental extended reporting period endorsement within 60 days of the policy expiration, and as long as that accident back in May happened somewhere between the retroactive date and the end of the policy, my claims will always be covered. Well, until they reach their aggregate limit, since that still applies.
I was right. You're really getting all this. Ready to move on?
You bet I am.